I hope I'm talking to many women out there who are defining their jobs as being a mother with no apologies, no explanations, no hesitation.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about mothers as shapers of destiny. Maybe some of you read the story that ran in the Reader's Digest called The Woman in the Photograph. It was written by a journalist named Bob Green, who described his mother as a beautiful woman, a graduate of Wellesley College, a member of Phi Beta Kappa. But when asked what she did, her answer was, "I'm Robert Green's wife, and I'm Bobby, Debbie, and Timmy's mother." I think of my own mother. She was what was called Spoon Girl at Germantown Friends School back in 1917. They had two awards that were given out each year. One was to the outstanding man of the class. He was called the Cane Man, and they presented him with a very fancy cane. The Cane Man that year was Leonard Carmichael, who later became the president of the Smithsonian Institution. But my mother was the Spoon Girl, and they gave her a beautiful ebony-handled silver spoon. My mother never went to college. My mother never had a career. My mother never had any kind of a resume other than to say, "I'm Philip Howard's wife, and I'm the mother of Phil, Dave, Betty, Ginny, Tommy, and Jim." And as Bob Green asks in his article, why should an intelligent, ambitious woman be satisfied making egg salad sandwiches and heating up cans of soup? He couldn't answer the question, but he was glad that she did it, and he said, "I wouldn't trade it for anything." "I am of a generation," he said, "that by and large was brought up in families who stayed together by mothers who stayed home all day, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. If my mother deprived herself by the way she spent those years, I know that she did not deprive Debbie or Timmy or me. And whatever good there is about us, much of it came because we had a mother who defined her job as being a mother." And I hope I'm talking to many women out there who are defining their jobs as being a mother with no apologies, no explanations, no hesitation. It is a job, isn't it? It is the very shaping of the destiny of young lives. But my heart goes out to you young mothers of today. You don't get a whole lot of support from the world. You don't even get the support that I wish you could get from the church very often. You have a confining job, of course. It's even dangerous to talk about being a mother, to admit that your job is that of being a mother. It's considered unconscionable and stupid for a woman to do nothing but housework, making egg salad sandwiches and heating up cans of soup. The story is told of a man who found three mothers at work washing their clothes. He said to the first one, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm doing the weekly washing." To the second, "I'm doing a bit of household drudgery." But the third woman's answer was this, "I'm mothering three children who will someday fill important and useful spheres in life. Wash day is a part of my grand task of caring for these souls who shall live forever." Nowadays, the emphasis is not on what I like to call mother work, but every other kind, anything outside of the house, anything which the world recognizes as a real job, anything for which you get paid. And of course, since nobody gets paid for mother work, not in money, that is, then it doesn't really qualify, does it? But I want to remind you today, you mothers, that you are shapers of destiny. You are cooperators with God. We have the biblical example of two women that we all know very well. The first was Eve, the mother of the race. But the mother of the race, through her disobedience, ruined us, brought sin, death, and suffering into the world. The other woman that we know so well is Mary, the mother of the Lord, who through obedience brought a Savior into the world. Eve was carried away by the lust for knowledge and power. You remember that the Lord told Adam and Eve that there was one tree in the garden whose fruit they were not to eat. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God did that in mercy, not to limit them or frustrate them or put them down, but to free them from a burden for which they were not designed, the burden of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, if you eat that fruit, you will surely die. You remember what happened? Satan came along in the form of a snake. Eve listened to him. He suggested that God's word was not necessarily true, and that she might perhaps even be better off, rather than dead, if she disobeyed God's word. He tempted her to upgrade her lifestyle. He tempted her to disobey the word of God, to eat the fruit, and she accepted his word. Having rejected God's, she accepted Satan's. She refused God's will, which was freedom and joy as a woman, as a human being. And she decided that her own will was best, that she could become like God, which was Satan's suggestion. We have the diametrical opposite of Eve in the figure of Mary. Mary, by contrast, surrendered even her legitimate plans and dreams, and offered herself in obedience. There was nothing wrong with the plans that Mary had for her own life. She was betrothed to a godly man. She was undoubtedly looking forward to her wedding, as any young girl would be. And when the angel came into her home with the announcement that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, her legitimate plans and dreams were immediately offered up. She presented herself to God as a holy vessel, fit for his purposes, ready to do his will. I go back to the egg salad and the cans of soup. What has that got to do with the will of God? Everything in the world. What has wash day got to do with the will of God? Everything in the world. These are, in fact, the tasks which the job of mothering entails. Very humble things can be very holy when they're offered to God. God calls mothers today to a task which entails two things that the world despises. Those two things are surrender and sacrifice. Surrender and sacrifice. And I am convinced, dear sisters out there who are listening to my voice, that the true essence of femininity is found in those two things, in surrender and in sacrifice. When you became engaged, you surrendered your future to a man. Not because you wanted him to have power over you particularly, but for the very simple and obvious reason that you loved him. And you wanted to surrender to him all that you were, all that you had, all that you would ever have. Then, if you've waited, as God's word tells us to do, when you got married, you surrendered yourself for the first time to that man physically. When you become pregnant, you surrender yourself to God to carry a child that God has given to you. And that entails sacrifice too, doesn't it? Marriage entails sacrifice. Motherhood entails sacrifice. Love of any kind always entails sacrifice. God is calling mothers today to a task which entails surrender and sacrifice. For many women, motherhood is merely an item on their personal agenda, an experience, an asset, an acquisition, perhaps primarily to enhance their own lives. I've read from the writings of some women who have done exactly what they wanted to do. They've gotten the degrees that they wanted to get. They've had the experiences. They've been successful in the careers. And then when they get into their early 30s, they think, okay, the next item on my list is a child, to be a mother. I'd like the experience of motherhood. But then when God grants them that experience, arrangements are immediately made to see that it doesn't interfere with the rest of the agenda. Undoubtedly, there are some people out there thinking, who in the world is this woman? Did she come from some other planet? Is she a voice from the Victorian era? Well, I admit that there are times when I do feel like a voice crying in the wilderness, and I'm not sure there is anybody out there listening. But the mail that I've already received in response to this radio program reassures me that there are some with ears to hear, women ready to look beyond the egg salad and the laundry to the fact that those very humble things are the grand task which God has assigned to them. And I would remind you of the old hymn, Jesus calls us, or the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice calls us, saying, Christian, follow me. Or perhaps we could say, mothers, follow me.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.